everyone, welcome back to the Earthon Survival Guide, the podcast for all disciplines, paths, players, and game masters, with your questers Josh and Dan. That guy is Josh.
And that guy is Dan.
And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things Renelical, because we're going to talk about the other major Renel in the Elven Nations, in Shosara, the Navalok Renel. So if you have any questions for us about anything we've ever talked about, questions you want to have Josh answer, please contact us at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. Initial thoughts on the Navalok Renel, Josh? Any?
No, not really. They're largely in here, I feel, to provide a foil to the Lariskova.
I agree.
Because of the Lariskova's dominance of Shosaran politics. There are mentions that there are other lesser Renels in Shosara, but the Navalok is the one that's presented, and I feel it's kind of like a foil, a counterpoint. They are not as powerful, but they have a sort of different outlook, which gives an alternate group perhaps for players to work with and to drive internal conflicts and things like that within Shosara.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's not just a one party or one Renel rules all of Shosara. We have this, I can't say up and coming, but we have this not exactly frenemy
rival.
Yeah, good word for it. I should use that word more often, that they're here as a rival, just to make it more House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, you know, political intrigue type thing, instead of just one Renel takes care of everything. No, you got to have some counterpoints to that. So I agree. I think it's here for a good reason. We'll see how much we can squeeze out of this one. This is a Renel with kind of a chip on its shoulder because it's trying to, I can't say unseat the Lariskova Renel, but this is somebody who's trying to compete with them, at least, not just politically, but as far as just the culture within Shosara. They're trying to help with the embracing of outside ideas and not just making it elven. So I appreciate the Navalok for that point of view.
Yeah, we talked about the last time, I think when we were talking about the Lariskova, how within the spectrum of elven nation philosophical politics.
Yeah.
How Shosara was the one that's kind of on the more liberal, innovative, more willing to embrace other ideas and to bring them in and to make them elven in a way.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare them to the elven court and the Western kingdoms and Sarriatha, which we haven't gotten to yet, but we will.
Yeah.
But how within the framework of Shosara as it was, the Lariskova are a little bit more on the conservative end of that bit of the spectrum, that they still have a very strong sense of cultural continuity, despite the exile and despite the separation that has happened with them. They still feel a very strong tie to the court, which drives a lot of their desires to unseat Aletheia and hopefully become the new seat of Elvendom themselves.
Yeah.
Then within that, the Navalok are more like, well, that's kind of cool and all, but
faster.
We have succeeded as well as we have because of our willingness to accept new ideas. Let's not even necessarily anchor ourselves to this cultural background.
Yeah.
Not that they, like, toss it aside entirely.
Mm-hmm.
The Elven court cast us out. Why is it that we need to even worry about their opinion on things? Let's just do what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And they don't have the political or economic sway in Shosara the way the Lariskova do, and so get a little bit frustrated with things that they want to accomplish but can't because the Lariskova sort of stymie them.
Agreed.
There's kind of a long history of the two Renels butting heads in a way.
Yeah.
Over how to do things. Like, ultimately, they all are looking to push Shosara forward and to increase its influence and power as a
nation state,
land, as a people, as a culture.
Yeah.
But again, with, like, within that framework, you've got those internal struggles. And so you've got these layers like an onion. where you've got broadly the elven culture and the elven diaspora tying to the elven court and Sariatha and Shosara and everything that's kind of gone on before, through, and after the Scourge, and how you've got the different pieces of that kind of jockeying against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then within each of those orbits, each of those little systems, you've got their own little internal divisions and stuff, depending on what you want to do, which does certainly, if you're going to be going epic about it, if you are really trying to run a game or a campaign that's got a major arc involving either the redemption of Bloodwood or the shift of the Elven Court or anything like that, there are not only the larger polities involved, but there are alliances and similar objectives and things like that that could cause all kinds of complex mind map sort of things in terms of the connections. If you have Bloodwood and then, oh, well, the Escalanus Renel are over in this part because they're kind of closer to Shosara in some aspects of what they're trying to do, you know, and so there is this potentially like really complex political maneuvering back and forth, both for the various kingdoms against each other, but also within them as they try and push in the directions that they are pushing.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, it's enough politics and it's enough counterpoints in the personalities and the motivations of all the political factions going on in Shosara. And it's just, it's enough. It's not too much, but it's something you can play with. It's not bogged down like a...
And I think this is where sort of the difficulty, I don't know if that's the right word, but when it comes to setting development, is you challenge. Do want to provide enough framework and background and information on the people and their politics to sketch a good outline of what's going on and to provide a source for potential conflicts, but without turning it into a dull treatise on a bunch of lesser details that aren't going to be of interest to most folks because they're not likely to be running a big epic political style campaign.
Yeah.
It's more like these are the objectives that they have and their philosophies in approaching them. And so these are the sorts of things that they may hire player character groups to do, or that player character groups may come into conflict with them over various things.
Yes. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Because obviously, as well, it is very, very difficult, especially when you're looking at RPG supplement design, to create a political structure and a society that is actually as rich and varied and nuanced as actual real world cultures and societies.
Yes.
You have to have something that you are working on dedicated for years and years, hence of things like, say, Harn or various other known for incredibly rich, detailed settings.
Vampire the Masquerade.
Well, and that, like, I'm just thinking, I'm like thinking more fantasy stuff like Sky Realms of Jeroen or Talis Lanta. It's like the world building sort of that Tolkien did.
Yeah.
A big part of the history was just to explain how the languages that he was invented changed the way that they did over the course of their existence, because that's what he was into.
Yeah.
And so you get somebody like M.A.R. Barker writing a fantasy setting, getting deep into the weeds on all the stuff that he is fascinated and interested in, and generating a really rich and unique and fascinating setting. But at the same time, that's all fascinating, but what am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah.
And so you need to kind of
usable at all.
Walk that line and provide enough usable stuff and enough of a framework for game masters to go, ooh, that's interesting, and to be able to hook their own ideas onto it. Or if they come up with an idea, they can look through and go, oh, that fits really nicely with this bit or whatever.
Yeah.
And kind of going from there.
So let's get into the bits, since we've spent 9.5 or so minutes getting around the bits about the Nevelok Rennell. Let's get into the actual nitty gritty here. So this Rennell differs entirely. And we talked about the political perspective and the cultural perspective. And since they have a chip on their shoulder about the Lariskova Rennell, the main place that these two differ is that the Nevelok possesses an even stronger ideal about egalitarian distribution. And so they've handed trade patents, land, and titles to non-elves, which I don't even think the Lariskova have done. If they have, it hasn't been very much.
Yeah, not to the extent that the Nevelok have. Part of the thing is, and this is another reason for the friction between these two Rennells, is that if you'll recall from our discussion sort of Shosaran history, that when Shosara was declared separated, a lot of the Lariskova left and went back to the wood.
Yes.
In support of the queen's decision.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nevelok were the ones more or less that stayed behind.
Yeah. He said, no thanks.
And then when the Lariskova got exiled because of their attempts to undermine the queen, they showed up and were able to flex a lot of their power, both from a political and economic, but also a cultural perspective, because of their ties to the founding of Shosara in the first place. Yeah. And that's something that the Nevelok have, you know, as you said, a chip on their shoulder about. Because, great, yeah, so you guys left us to our own devices, and then when you weren't welcome down there anymore, you came up here and decided to throw your weight around, trying to, in some ways, like, prevent us from continuing what we have always been doing for the past several centuries in terms of our progress in egalitarianism and the less elf supremacist kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, since they've handed out all these trade patents, lands, and titles, and so forth, it's more that they really and readily accept and rely on other name givers besides elves. And so they really are trying to make this, I can't say a utopia, but, you know, everybody's welcome, everybody's accepted, as long as everybody does the work. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
So,
really forging an identity as their own identity as Shosarans, rather than as elves first, you know, rather than as subjects of the court.
Yeah.
Their thought is, you declared us no longer elves. We didn't do anything wrong. So, we're going to keep doing what we're doing because it's working for us. And if you don't like it, well, that's not our problem.
Exactly. Yeah. You go do your thing. We'll do our thing. Have a nice day. So, yeah, we'll do us over here. What you said earlier, the founding of this entire Rennell, the Nevelok Rennell, goes way back to the separation, and you can expand upon this in a second or so. The Nevelok is a Kistoven or human word. So the elves even did a bigger middle finger to the queen by taking on a human name for their Rennell. And specifically chosen to defy the Wyrmwood elf nobles. So
yeah.
That's how much of the big separation is with Wyrmwood. We're going to take a human name, really, just to dig it in a little bit deeper.
Yeah, again, just like the almost, it's not really the right tone, but almost like, it's not adolescent, it's like young adult. It's okay, we are forging our own identity.
Yeah.
We are going to figure out who we are and what our beliefs and ideals are as a people, and that does not go along with the elves overall and elves exclusivity that the Wyrmwood court laid down.
Yeah. I can't say it's an act of defiance, but this is more of an act of independence. So to your point about the juvenile or the teenage years, whatever, it's one of those, okay, fine. I'm not welcome here. I will strike out on my own and rename this my way. So I have no problem with it. Cause again, I like how this Rennell kind of builds itself. So immediately after the separation from Wyrmwood, Nevelok helped build Shosara by giving wealth and titles and to trustworthy name givers. Trustworthy name givers being the point there. They solidified the Grand Assembly and allowed citizens to vote on all matters. So again, the embrace of democracy instead of just the elven monarch rule. And They hired local warriors to, this is where they were instrumental, to repel bandits and protect the far-flung settlements on the shores of the Gwyn Sea. So while the Lariscova was doing all the nation building within the city limits, the Navalochranel took care of everybody else.
Well, and the Navaloch were doing that while the Lariscova were largely gone. This is sort of in the early years after the separation. A lot of the Lariscova just pulled up stakes and returned to the wood, taking all of their power and influence and everything with them. And so the Navaloch, in a sense, grew up to fill that power vacuum that had been developed, which is, again, a source of where some of the friction with the Lariscova comes up, because you left, we put the pieces back together and move forward, and then you come back and expect things to go back the way they were.
Yeah. So, grr.
Yeah.
This is...
It's not that it's necessarily antagonistic in terms of, like, they are really butting heads. It's more of just a cultural friction idea. They all want to move Shosara forward as a nation, as a people. Mm-hmm. It's just the ultimate objective of them, of each of these two sort of major power blocks within Shosara, have their differing objectives. The Lariscova are largely still hung up on elven court politics and everything that has been going on there for the past several centuries, whereas the Navaloch, influenced perhaps by the larger percentage and their working with both the Kitsovans and other name givers in the area, have moved beyond it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, stop obsessing over your ex-girlfriend. And
we know that the way you've been doing things is a hard habit to break. However, come join us over here. We don't have that bad habit.
We're not happy that we have to deal with your baggage over this. We've put it past us.
Yeah, so that's part of the chip on their shoulder, or at least one of the chips. Here's a secondary chip.
I hesitate to draw parallels, but it's like the adult children coming out of a not great family relationship.
Yeah.
Where, like, the parents both still are exercising a lot of power, and the younger siblings, sort of in this case the Navaloch, are like, well, fine, and have figured things out, and now the older sibling is kind of, like, broken away, but still wants to, like,
do it the way
stay
mom
in
and dad
the good
did.
Graces, and it's just kind of like, get over it.
And next week we're going to do Josh on the couch. We're going to do a little psychological diagnosis. I'm kidding. We all have issues. I'm not saying you do. So that's part of the chip on the shoulder of the Navalochranel. Here's a secondary chip. The Navaloch was eventually supplanted in politics and the hearts and minds of the populace of Shosara by the Lariscova. Again, the chip on the shoulder. When the Lariscova returned from being excommunicated by Wyrmwood, and the Lariscova climbed the ladder, politically speaking, and co-opted the Navalochranel's ideas as their own. That's part of the other big chip on the shoulder is, hey, that was our idea. You're taking credit for it. Stop it.
Yep. The Navalochranel is not even majority elf.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of them are other name givers. So they are using the term Renel for their extended family political organization, but it is not the same sort of thing as a Renel from the Wood or even the Lariscova, where it really is a single extended elven family.
Yeah, predominantly elf.
This is more of a socio-political alliance affiliation. It was essentially like the ruling class of Shosara with all of the various members of it during that period. And then the Lariscova kind of showed up and started throwing their weight around. And again, not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it does cause tension and resentment.
There's a rift in there somewhere.
Yeah, and friction and problems, you know.
All the good things.
A source of conflict is always great.
Yes. All good drama for the role-playing. So, post-Scourge, the Navaloch secured exclusive rights to key traded resources, and they still advocate for more non-elves in positions of power. Again, more of that rift, butting of heads, and drama, because Valeriskova doesn't want that exactly, and the Nevelok see nothing wrong with it. So let's put more non-elves in positions of power just to show how more progress we're making than Wyrmwood, Bloodwood now.
There is some of that, but it's also just the idea of the philosophy of the Nevelok as Shosara developed in that intervening time between the separation and the return of the Lariskova Renel, where the sort of egalitarianism and the fact that the elves as a name-giver race were not as numerically dominant as they had been, and so everybody needed to pull together in order to survive, and that alliance, that support, that friendship that kind of grew out of that is a very big influence on them. And it's not that we need to put other name givers in positions of power to show how progressive we are. It's that whoever is better suited to
do with the
particular
thing.
Roles.
Yeah.
You know, again, sort of diversity as strength, as a core philosophical tenet of theirs.
Yeah. Hey, so-and-so is best at doing the thing. Let them do the thing. Elfernet, whatever, best candidate possible. So yes, the Nevelok Renel does hold more progressive, almost radical political views compared to traditional elves.
From an elven perspective.
Yes.
From the perspective of the more traditional elven court politics and idea.
Yeah.
The Nevelok is radical. They are like way out there in terms of that. I don't think like necessarily from our perspective
that it
seems particularly radical a notion, but you need to take everything within the context that it is framed.
Yeah, start with the Wyrmwood.
Yeah.
Go see how Shosara was developed with Lariskova, and then go one step further with the Nevelok. And I do mean one, not like 12 steps, one. So there's just degrees of separation, and that's where you're starting from. You're not starting with the Kingdom of Thrall and how they run their politics. We're starting with Wyrmwood and how they run their politics.
Thrall's got its own things going on as well.
Yeah, totally.
And also as another aspect of this, because of the heavy elven philosophical influence on their culture, but also the fact that a significant portion of their membership are not elves, the Nevelok have adapted the paths and the wheel to be something that rather than going through all steps of the wheel in a single lifetime, it is something, it's almost like a reincarnation type idea where it is just something that you keep working at over multiple lifetimes to eventually achieve all of it.
Yeah, they see a quicker cycling of that within your lifetime. So you actually might go through four or five complete, I can't say rotations of the wheel.
Right, but it's not even necessarily having to do it all within one lifetime.
Yeah.
Because when you've got orcs that live only to be 40, 45 years old.
Yeah.
The cycles of the elven wheel where you're looking at that being the amount of time that you're on one step along the path is not going to work.
No.
Oh, gee, with that lifetime, if we want to go, we're going to have to make a change every 2 or 3 years. That's not going to happen. And so it's more of an abstract idea and perhaps something that some members of it are like, well, on this turn of the wheel, I am on the path of wanderers, in a sense. And so then when it comes back around again, because I imagine there certainly would be, given the presence of ally spirits that at least appear to be or claim to be dead name givers, that there is a sense of a soul persisting beyond death. And so the idea perhaps that there is some kind of reincarnation aspect going on is something that could possibly exist. It's not really detailed in here.
Yeah. It's enough to let you know how to play around with it.
Yeah.
That there's, you know, fewer plateaus, not a lot of stagnation. It's a quicker cycling through things. And so it's not the same as the other elves. And so it gives you enough to play around with without getting too specific. So you've got a very loose framework on the idea of the wheel within the Nevelok Renel. So the Nevelok also, by the way, funds artists and magical scholars, just like the Lariskova does. But of course, because it's the Navalocronel, they fund those kind of on the fringe a little bit, slightly more radical views here and there. And so, yeah.
Pushing the boundaries a little more blatantly.
Yeah, just the ones, the Lariskova chose you. Well, we'll choose that guy over there in the corner who's a little bit different. And, you know, yeah, we'll take that guy. So, you know, they sponsor their fair share.
As the Renaissance showed us,
yes,
nothing is better for cultural growth and the explosion of arts and culture than rich people funding artists to basically do diss tracks of each other.
Yes.
Commissioning an artist to do a piece that sort of is a satirical work undermining of a prominent member of a rival merchant house or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of that sort of thing that can go on.
Yeah. This is like a very bad rap battle throughout history. So this basically all culminates with who's in charge of the Navalocronel, and that is, of course, Grand Prince Zinovi Navalok, who is a trained troubadour. He has rapidly consolidated power, not necessarily in the Renel, but for the Renel, because he's all about Renel. And he's leveraged his web of alliances with non-elves. And so he's absolutely made play of everybody around him he can possibly get involved, because, you know, when you're backs up against the wall, you kind of grab every tool that you possibly can. So everybody around him is involved in his alliance.
That tool involves ideas that he is inspired by from the Council Compact. He is very fond of the Thralic delegates to Shosara.
Yeah.
And is really intrigued by the ideas presented in the Council Compact and is trying to think of ways to bring those into Shosaran political life, because it perhaps will help not only achieve their goals in terms of the progress in egalitarianism and so forth that they are after, but it will also probably help undercut some of the power of the Lariskova.
Yeah, agreed.
Because that's part of their whole deal.
Yeah.
Again, not that their objective is not to undercut the Lariskova more than by promoting their ideals, they moderate the imbalance of power that exists that the Lariskova hold within broader Shosaran society.
Well put. I could not have put it that succinctly.
I'm not sure that made sense.
It did to me, which doesn't say a whole heck of a lot. But listeners, let us know. Otherwise, so yes, Grand Prince Zinovi Navalok wishes, this is how radical he is, wishes to name a human as his successor when he goes to step down to be in charge. Yeah.
This is one place where the Navalocronel is still somewhat traditionalist. Elves have held the leadership position within the Renel since its founding.
Yeah.
And now, as he is sort of aging and deciding that it is about time to step down, he wants to really put his money where his mouth is in terms of the political objectives that he and the house as a whole hold.
Yeah, agreed. This is radical from the perspective of it's still using the elvish form of a Renel, but once you name your very first human successor, that'll change stuff. So then you can, that right there, I can probably see one or two adventures based on already when he is going to go step down and things like that. So usually, just for his perspective, so if you want to use this at all or use him at all to hire your adventurers, he usually disdains traditional elvish Renels, but is fiercely a Shosaran patriot. He will absolutely back Shosaran Renels over any outsider group or any outside influence. So he's all Renel. He's all Shosara first, Renel second.
And again, that's like a sibling sort of relationship. You can argue and fight and make fun of your siblings, but if somebody from outside that relationship challenges them, then you are going to
team up and take them down.
Yes, exactly.
I can talk about my brother this way. You can't talk about my brother this way. I will beat you down. That's how that goes. One of my friends actually wanted to raise his sons exactly that way. So I think he's been pretty successful so far. So any further thoughts on the Navalok Renel. I kind of like this one. I think there's a lot of flexibility with it and some good uses to get to be made out of it.
Yeah, I think it provides some valuable difference and variety and nuance to the Shosaran culture as a whole. With the limited amount of space that is available in the book, it does a good job of painting the broad strokes of the primary political conflict that exists within the Shosaran nation.
Yeah, agreed. So I hope everybody can get some use out of the Navalok Renel. Please let us know if you have or now could intend to. Drop us a line at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, go protect your siblings Renel for your legend.
Good night, everybody.
Ah, came out of nowhere.